friends. I'm your host, Erin Port, and welcome to the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast. Life can be overwhelming and busy, so once a week, I invite you to join me, and together we will make simple tweaks to uncomplicate the hard parts of our life so we can spend more time doing what we love. You don't have to overhaul your life to love it, so let's get started. Welcome back to the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast, friends. I am so excited today because I have a friend, I learned, also a longtime community member, Elizabeth Beam from Balancing Beams on Instagram, here today to talk to us about how to simplify and streamline toys. When I was thinking about somebody who I could have on that was like-minded, but had kids just a little bit younger than me, she immediately popped into my mind. She's authentic, sweet, and full of so much wisdom. You want to make sure you check her out on Instagram. But Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited to have you as well. Okay, as we begin, for those of you listening that might not know about Elizabeth, can you share your journey towards simplifying and streamlining your life and why you started Balancing Beams?
Sure. So I guess the very beginning would be in 2020, spring of 2020, I had my second daughter. And obviously that was a weird year for everyone. and I became a stay-at-home mom right then. And it was a little bit hard for me. I struggled with that, but I was really excited because I had these great plans of the routines that I was going to create and the cleaning schedules that I was going to have and how the house was going to be always running perfectly. And that did not happen at all. And then a little bit later that year, we had a miscarriage. And then I became pregnant with our third daughter. And that was it was a horrible pregnancy. it was mostly bed rest with two toddlers. I mean, my daughters were 3 and 1 at that time. Thankfully, because of 2020, my husband was working from home. So that was a huge, huge help because I couldn't pick up the girls. I couldn't do anything like that. So it led to a long, it was 7.5 months because she was born 6 weeks early. Then when she was born, obviously she was early. We were in the NICU for a little bit. She is completely healthy now. It's amazing. She's our little miracle. But she was an awful baby. And I will tell her this to her face, so nobody get offended by that. But she really was. And she's an amazing toddler now. Like, I mean, I can't even tell you how much I love her as a toddler. But as a baby, it was exhausting. And I had all these great hopes, like I said, of our home running. And I really honestly just felt overwhelmed. And I was like, how do I just start? You know, I want to live and I want to be able to be the mom that says, okay, let's go on this adventure or let's do this. And I stayed home and I just was like panicking about doing everything. And we'd go to leave and I'd be like, well, it's a mess. And all the, and it was just, it was not exactly how I'd hoped it was. And then I was actually on Instagram at the time and I stumbled upon a few simple accounts and it took a while, but one day it just clicked like, oh, I could have that. I could get rid of our stuff. I am taking care of all of this stuff and I don't have to do that anymore. If I, you know, take the time. So I started decluttering and, once I started, I couldn't stop. It was just like, it felt clear. Like life felt clear to me. Like I could focus on the things that I wanted to focus, which to me was so crazy because how did our stuff, you know, correspond with how I felt? And it did, it changed how much energy I had, it changed my brain fog. And so I just kept going. And I think at this point, it's been a lot more, but I decluttered probably over 50% of our stuff within just a few months, and like our whole entire house. And I used to think that I was not a hoarder and I wasn't, you know, I wasn't one of those people that had tons of stuff. It just amazed me how much we had collected. A lot of the, you know, hand-me-downs, which I greatly appreciate, but there was a point where I would just say yes to anything because it was free and we might use it someday. And that just built up and then we'd have to take care of that. And that became overwhelming. So even the regular day-to-day things felt like too much, even though they shouldn't have. So once I decluttered everything, then I started simplifying and it truly changed our life. And I don't mean that lightly or sarcastically or anything. It really just changed how we lived and how I was able to be a mom. And I was able to focus on my girls more. Obviously, I'm not the perfect mom still, but just, and then even for them, they played better. My husband, when, you know, he was working from home and, you know, he, after work, he would help us clean up and all this stuff. Now he didn't have to do that. Like, just simplifying little things. Not that he's amazing at helping and stuff, but I would feel guilty because it would be like, okay, you just worked all day and now I need you to help me so we can survive here. And that's not how I had wanted it. And he still helps out when I need it, but he doesn't have to as much anymore because we get things done. Mm. And my girls, they obviously like it more. They, you know, messes were a huge thing for me. And I would be like, no, let's not do that because I don't want to make a mess now. I'm like, hey, pull that Play-Doh out. Let's do the sand because I know it's going to be easy to clean up. Mm. And so that was, I would say brief, but that wasn't brief, but that was my journey to simplifying and decluttering. And once I had done that, I had all this time and energy that I could spend on something else besides simply surviving. And that was when I made my account. And I actually made it because I had started doing DIYs with my extra time and energy to start making our house the way I had wanted it, cohesive, that in ways that I hadn't been able to do that before. And I wanted to do it on a budget. And, you know, we didn't have a ton of money to spend. So I was slowly doing things myself. So I made my account. And it was really quickly that I realized that as much as I love DIYs, what I really liked sharing was decluttering and simplifying, because there are other moms out there that did not know about this. And I could share that. And obviously it's not for everyone, but there might be just one person out there that is sitting in her house trying to figure out how she can even like do the dishes and do the laundry. And I can help give her tips on how to do that. So that is where my account came from. And I have been, I think it's been a year. Yeah. A year in this March. So it's been amazing. And it's my, like I say, my hobby, but it's just my passion to be able to do.
And it clearly resonates with people because in a year's time, you're at nearly 100,000 followers.
That's crazy. Moms, blowing my mind.
But I think moms crave that simplicity.
Yes. Well, and people need to know that they're not broken or they're not failing because they're simply trying to manage too much. Mm-hmm. And that's something that once I realized that, it was like, oh, I don't need more organizational stuff. I don't need more fancy things to, yes, some things are nice to make your life easier, but if it's actually making my life harder, that defeats the purpose. And by having less and simplifying, you can have a home that you actually genuinely love. Even if it's not the perfect home or it has flaws, you can still have that in a home that helps you function better as a mom or wife and be able to, I have no problem now when someone says, hey, do you want to go do this? Sure. Let's grab the girls. Even if the house isn't picked up, I know when we come back, it's going to be easy to take care of. So that's not like sitting in the back of my head. Oh, hey, you have to do all this stuff. So why are you enjoying yourself right now? That kind of thing. And that being able to share that with other moms and have them understand that they're not alone and that they're not the only ones that think that is huge for me.
And I think what you said, and I've seen on your Instagram, like you recently picked up rollerblading.
Yes.
Simplifying has freed up space in your life. And I think that's what we crave in this fast-paced world is more space. And I found that myself with simplification. Like the reason I'm able to do simple, purposeful living is the same reason you have, is because I have the space in my life. Mm-hmm. I'm not spending all this time managing my home anymore. I've simplified it in a way that now leaves me space to pursue other things. And that's the whole purpose of this simple and purposeful living. So I love that you said that. And I think so many moms can relate to your journey. I can relate to your journey. So thank you for sharing that with us. And okay, so let's talk about toys, because you have three daughters and they are 5, 3, and 2, correct?
Correct, yep.
Okay. So could you walk us through your approach on how you've decluttered and organized your toys effectively?
So the way I started out might be a little controversial because I know everyone has an opinion on how it should be done.
That's but okay.
My girls, My girls were little, they were four when my oldest was four when I started, and we had a lot of toys. Maybe not as many as some people, but we have a lot of toys. We don't have a playroom. So our toys were in our living space and our living room, and they came to the point where they weren't all stored everywhere. They would just kind of be around the outer edges. That's one thing I talk about is your outer edges that people tend to forget about in your home. They didn't get played with. They would get pulled out and they would get trashed all over, and then we'd have to pick it up. And at the end of the day, I'd be too tired to pick them up. So then we wake up the next morning and we'd be walking over toys. And that sounds really horrible saying that, but that was our reality at the time. And there wasn't an easy way for them to put things away. So even saying, okay, help me put, they were 4, 2 and the baby, obviously. So it wasn't like, I can just go tell them to pick up things. So, I think it was probably during nap time and bedtime is when I just started like getting rid of toys. I didn't get rid of them. I put them in totes. I had these plastic totes. We have an attic, and I went through and I started with all the electronic toys. So all the ones the ones that promised to teach you how to read, or all those ones that I thought my kids needed to become the smart kids they are. So they would get pulled out and they would push a couple buttons and then they would leave them and they wouldn't play with them. And then we'd have to pick them up over and over. So I put most of those in the tote. I think I left like one or two out. And then all the random hand-me-down toys that we would get that they never played with, but I would be like, well, they're good toys, so we should keep these. I think I did half at first. I did half of our toys. And I put them in the attic and I just waited to see what would happen. Because honestly, deep down, I thought there's no way my kids will play better with less toys. So it was kind of an experiment for me too, because it was hard for me to like process that. I was like, well, it works for other people, so we can at least try it. Yep. And in, I think, 2 or 3 months' time, my girls asked for one toy that they remembered. And they were like, hey, where's that toy? And I was like, all right. So I went, got it, gave it to them. And after a while, they didn't notice. And I ended up donating all those toys. And that's when I was like, maybe we should do more. Because it was still not quite manageable. And so I'm pretty sure I did this second time without them too. And then they kind of started catching on. And that was when I would explain to them, at that point, obviously our home was pretty much all decluttered. And so they were, mommy gets rid of things. That was kind of their thing. And they were following along. And so I started explaining to my oldest one, especially because she's the one that is it for toys for her are, even if she doesn't like them, she's gonna be like, oh no, that's my favorite toy. So I would start talking to her about it and explaining, we don't play with this toy. So sometimes I would find a toy and I'd be like, well, you don't play with this. And she'd be like, oh no, I do. I'm like, okay, we will leave it out and we'll see how much you play with it over the next few days. And of course she would not touch them because I was paying attention to see what they played with and what they didn't. And so we worked with her on that, and she, sometimes I didn't get rid of something because she genuinely would get upset about it. And I was like, all right, it was manageable at that point. And so I let her pick and choose what she wanted to declutter, what she didn't. It's been, like I said, a little over a year since we started decluttering. And just recently we went through all their toys. And I include them now with every single thing because we don't have a lot of toys. So even if we don't get rid of something, it's not a big deal to me. But I make sure to do it regularly with them. And she was going through them and she's like, you know what, mom, I don't need this toy and I don't need this toy. And so we talked about giving them to other kids that need toys or things like that. And she put like, I think 4 things aside. It was really big for her to do that on her own. So another thing that I have done though, when she was really, I knew for sure she didn't like a toy, but she was really not into, so I'd be like, okay, you know what? If you declutter with me and we get rid of the toys that I think you don't play with, we'll go to 5 Below. That's our toy store. So, and you can pick out one thing. And she'd be like, she's like, sure, let's do that. And so for me, it's such a good trade-off. Because, okay, we're going through and we're getting rid of the ones that you don't play with to find something that you do. Like she got a pair of headphones and she can like listen to things and stuff like that. So it's usually, but she's the kind of person that thinks of what she wants and she's wanted something for a while. So going to 5 Below is a great option for her because, oh, I finally get that item that I wanted. And for me, we get rid of the toys that you aren't playing with anymore. So that's worked for us those certain ways. And it's blown my mind how much happier they are and how much more their imaginations blossom with less toys. And having less toys has allowed me to create a system that makes it easy for all of us to pick up. Mm. I know where everything is. Even my husband, he would help us pick up, but he would get frustrated because where do these things go? Mm. And so now everything has a specific place, you know, and it's easy. It's not like, okay, you have to have this little slot and put this toy in there. We made that easy too. And so now even my two-year-old is great at just, okay, let's go pick up. And she helps pick up. So simplifying has made it them not so overwhelming when it's time to pick up. And me, when I see them playing with the toys, it doesn't bother me because I know within 15 minutes we can have it all taken care of. So it's been amazing.
Speaking of simplifying, streamlining, and succeeding in 2024, we want to help you practically, not just with ideas, but also resources. So we created a free printable pack with decluttering checklists, cleaning checklists, and routine checklists. Grab your free, yes, I said free, pack today at simplepurposefulliving.com/simplify. The link is also in our show notes. I love that. I think there's so many good tips in there too. What I was hearing you say when you take your daughter to Five Below is a great life skill, right? When we go and we want to get something new, like that one in, one out rule, right? Mm-hmm. Like we're gonna get rid of something so that, I mean, that's just a great life skill. And I think as you say, like teaching our kids these skills are going to prove so fruitful for them because we're going to need to know how to declutter. And it's one of those things, like I wasn't necessarily taught as a kid how to declutter or how to tidy. Like these are skills that we're teaching our kids that are going to be so fruitful for them into the future. And I love that.
Being better adults.
Exactly. Because they always say we're not just raising kids, we're raising future adults. I love that. And as you said, I found the same thing. Less toys actually promotes more creativity. Do you find too that when you tidy up regularly, I kind of call it like the blank canvas effect. Like if you give kids a blank piece of paper, you know, their imagination can run wild. Like when I think of like we tidy up our spaces, it's like our kids can just, their imagination can run wild again. Do you?
Yes. And it's funny because we, when we clean up literally within a half an hour, they'll have something else. Wow. But it's a completely different setup of something. So yeah, exactly that. It's like, oh, what can we do differently this time? Instead of just getting stuck in their mess and getting overwhelmed and just walking away for sure. And that was another thing, minimalism, not minimalism necessarily, but decluttering toys and things. It's not about depriving us. Like you said, the one in, one out, it's about making room for the new things that we get. So yes, if I want a new outfit, I am going to go through my closet and find what I don't wear anymore instead of adding it up. And that same work with toys. We're not saying that they can never have any more toys or new toys. Just, hey, let's get rid of the old and bring in the new without feeling frustrated and overwhelmed with the amount.
Exactly. It's like letting go of the things that are no longer serving us so that we can enjoy the things that do.
Exactly.
So, yeah. I mean, it's like handing a kid a piece of paper that already has a bunch of scribbles and saying, have fun.
Yeah.
It's like, that's very fun, you know? So just
I'll set them up for a breakdown.
That's exactly right. And so, okay, I love this. This is great. Okay. So you've talked about this a little bit of just like when things have kind of been outgrown or some of those electronic toys, but what criteria do you suggest using when deciding which toys to keep and which toys to donate and discard?
Definitely focus on, obviously, so outgrowing is one thing. It's harder to do that when you have younger kids, though, because, you know, you're going from each step. But you also notice that which toys get played with.
Yes.
And so, yes, okay, someone gave you this great activity thing, but your kid hated it. So really, why are you keeping it? Do you just want it to float around longer? Things like that for younger kids, especially. And then another thing that I focus on is, do we hate picking it up? So yes, they might play with it, but are we always getting frustrated when it's time to clean up because there's so many little pieces or there's different things? Is it something that gets pulled out and dumped and then not really played with because it looks cool, but it's not exactly what usually play with? So I kind of focus on that. Like I said, the electronic ones, especially because yeah, they're amazing and they're really cool, but they don't really ever get played with. We only have one. We have like a small computer that has that, and you can actually put the ABCs and everything in it. And they love that. And they play with it all the time. We keep that. Another one is like a play phone. Those two things are electronic things, but other ones, the books that different books that they would read, and they never actually played with those. So that was one thing that I definitely, definitely focus on what they play with. And then also, do we like cleaning it up and taking care of it? Because if it's causing us more annoyance than them fun, there's no reason to keep it. There's plenty of toys and things for them to play with. It's not like they're going to be deprived because we took away this one toy they actually liked. If it makes everyone's life easier and happier, I would pass it on. I do pass it on.
I think that's so smart, and I've never considered that, but that's a great, great point. Okay. We've talked a little bit about like helping our kids to declutter, but how do you involve your kids in tidying up the toys? Do you have any routines in place to regularly do that?
So yes, that's one thing that I'm really big on is teaching my girls how to be part of the family. They're mm-hmm. part of the family. I mean, I'm not going to use them to do all my chores, obviously. And they're still so young. And a lot of times it's easier for me to just be like, all right, I'll do it. Just go away. But I'm always amazed, especially my oldest, how much she can actually do if I let her. Mm. And how much even my two-year-old, she's a beast. But she pulled a stool up and she's at the kitchen sink and she's just like rinsing the dishes yesterday. And I was like, oh, you know what? You know, she's watching and she's paying attention. So it always amazes me that sometimes I get so used to doing things my own way that if I actually paid attention, and yes, it's a pain to teach them at first, but once they learn, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And they thrive. They thrive on helping me mm-hmm. and they thrive on being part of it. So we have chore charts. I don't stick to them completely, but my girls love the routine of being able to go and look and say, okay, hey, we have to get dressed. Mm-hmm. My two older girls get themselves dressed now, and they actually sometimes even help pick out my youngest clothes and help her get dressed. Yeah. So it's not always perfect, but they're learning the responsibility. We just got Betty's, so they've been making their bed on their own now, and they're loving that they can do that. And it's really exciting for them. My oldest, I let her use a sick vacuum and vacuum, clear up breakfast and stuff like that. So all of those things, we kind of put into our routine. And the one big thing obviously is the toys. We don't pick up toys all day long because for me, that's useless. Yeah. I actually had someone ask me, how do you do that? I never get rest. And I was like, I don't, because I know they will be get picked up. It doesn't bother me that they're all over because I know at a certain time of the day, it's going to take 15 minutes and we can pick them up. And so usually around like 4 o'clock, my husband gets out at 5, around 4 o'clock. I'll be like, okay, girls, setting a 15-minute timer. Let's pick up. And it's basically a refresh of the whole house. So then when I'm starting dinner, I can focus on dinner and not the mess of the toys that I'm tripping over. And they're amazing at it. Like they know exactly where everything goes. They know what their responsibilities are, and I'm helping them. And I've learned that it's a big part is showing them what to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes even myself, I'll be like, well, just go do it. Why didn't you do it? Well, if I didn't take the time to teach them, they're going to, you know, I get confused when I'm someplace and someone tells me to do something and I haven't show what to do. Mm-hmm. So they're going to feel the same way. So one thing I focus on is teaching them and leading by example, and then stepping back to allow them to have the responsibilities. So sometimes we'll switch it up and I'll be like, all right, you get the dining room. My middle child and I'll do the living room, and we'll kind of have like a little race. And it's kind of neat to see how well they do when I just let them go do their thing. So that's basically our routines and our having them help us. But it's very important to me. I know some people say, well, let them have their childhood, but they thrive on feeling needed and feeling it part of it. And they're always so proud. Mom, look what I did. So I feel like it's almost harmful not to have them do that.
Yes, I agree. I love that. Okay. So before I get to rapid fire questions, what is your last bit of encouragement for simplifying and decluttering toys?
I would say don't focus so much on what others do. Mm. Focus on what you and your family need. So I've had people message me and say, well, how many toys should I have? Or how many of this should I have? There is no set amount. It would be a lot easier if there was, obviously. But I would focus on, okay, what do you see? How do you see your family functioning? And how do you, if it might be more toys than we have, And there might be different kinds of toys, but you have to experiment, I think, with what, you know. And I would focus, especially with parents that are overwhelmed with toys, just try taking away half of them at first, even if it's ones they play with necessarily, not their favorites, but you say, okay, I saw them play with that last week. Maybe they just pulled it out because it was there. They might not even actually miss it. Just try to experiment and don't, like I said, I didn't get rid of them right away. I just hit them for a while. And if you have that capacity, try doing that. And that way you'll feel less guilty if you bring something back, but it will also make you feel a bit more brave to put more away and see what happens. So I think for me, it's all about experimenting what works for your family and not focusing on what the rules are or what someone else does.
I love that. Okay. Some rapid fire questions. What is your favorite toy organization hack?
Hands down, cube storage. I've always loved the idea of a toy chest. But for me, cube storage is similar, but a little bit more organized. So we have one for Magna Tiles, one for the little people house. And then we have one miscellaneous one where you just throw all those little toys that don't really have a home. So we don't have to like organize them separately, but they have a space. And then one for stuffed animals. Makes it super easy. And even my 3-year-old has no problem. Okay, this one goes in this one. So that's probably my favorite is cube storage. And I know it doesn't work for everyone, but it's definitely my favorite.
I love it. Okay, which toy do you love having in your home?
Magna Tiles.
Yeah, hands down.
Yep, you can do so much.
Okay, and let's see. You talked about your favorite storage solution for small toys, which is that cube storage. Okay, last tip. What do you do with sentimental or... like, what do you do with those sentimental toys that you're like, oh, but they played with that?
I'm not a huge sentimental person, but I think that I would tell anyone that has something like that, you don't have to get rid of it. There's no rule saying you have to. Yeah. If you have the room and you think that your child will want this when they're older or you want to save it, save it.
Yep.
But if they also, you know, be realistic. You know, they don't want to save every single toy they ever touched. Nobody wants to get a box of that. Yeah. So I would focus on the really important things and save those and go from there.
I love that. Okay. So Elizabeth, where can people find and connect with you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Balancing Beams. I'm also on Facebook, same Balancing Beams. You can always send me a message. I try my best to reply daily to those with any questions or whatever, but that's where you can find me.
Well, she is a joy and a delight and full of so much practical wisdom, as you can tell. So I highly encourage you to follow her. And our tweak of the week this week is to evaluate your toys. As Elizabeth said, can you take some and just put them in a storage space or in a toy and just see what simplifying your toys does for your home, for the way your kids play, and for the way you feel? Check it out and let us know how it goes. Thanks for tuning in to the Simple Purposeful Living podcast. If you liked this episode, it would mean so much if you'd share it with a friend or leave a quick rating and review so others can find our show. Until next time, you can find me at Simple Purposeful Living on Instagram and Facebook for some more encouragement and practical tips. You get one life, so let's enjoy it on purpose. Until next time, bye.